I'll try and make it as clear as possible because it can be confusing. This, I'm a little bit confused about it myself. But the man who knows is David Harvey. He's the chairman of the Lincolnshire branch of Rail Future. And David, firstly, this is a potentially confusing situation. Just what's a bit about around the background of this?
Potentially is an understatement, I think. It all dates back to days of rail privatisation. At the time, the aims, apart from privatising the network, it was to introduce competition. So the track, access to the track, wasn't any longer the responsibility of the Department of Transport. They set up a separate organisation to control who had access to the track.
I see.
So that the franchise operators and anybody else who wanted to compete were on a level playing field.
And that's the Office of Rail and Road?
It is now, yes. I mean, they've gone through various incarnations in 20 years or so, but yes, it is.
So they have the power to make this decision of basically which provider can run trains on a line?
Yes, and the East Coast is one of the ones that's always had open access because, of course, there's always been the Hall train service from Hall to London, which is an open access service. That one calls at Doncaster and Grantham. Now we've got the Department for Transport have awarded the franchise to Virgin Trains East Coast, with on a basis of a specific timetable. But, of course, that is all subject to Virgin getting the access rights to run the trains.
So, basically, there are competing operators. I understand. Is it four?
Yes, and the competing operators really are ones who want to run the longer distance. There's two operators who want to run from Scotland to London. Basically, one running a very fast service and one running much more of a slower train, but at, as they put it, the budget airline prices.
I see. So there's sort of various potential types of service being offered, but how do they decide who is actually going to be able to run trains on the line?
Well, the Office of Rail and Road, they've obviously got the statutory duties are outlined. There's a big, long act controlling it, but they have to protect the interests of rail users. They have to promote competition for the benefit of users, but also they have to take into account the Transport Secretary's funds and guidance. So, of course, and they also, again, have to allow a certain amount of space for the freight trains. You get to the East Coast, there's only got a limited number of trains can run an hour. And, of course, if you run one or two fast services, they actually reduce the capacity because we've got the two track sections. And if you think about it, a train stopping at all stations, so Peterborough, Grantham, Doncaster, Retford, Doncaster, will be caught up by a fast train that's perhaps leaving King's Cross 10 minutes behind it.
I see. So actually that can cause congestion on the line.
Yes. So somebody who wants to run fast services, which are basically Edinburgh, Newcastle, the odd stop in between, and then fast to London, actually you have to make room for them along these single track, the double track sections, because the other trains are getting in their way.
So, I mean, that kind of explains what they mean by the capacity, and I know that there are these four competing operators. I mean, do East Coast Mainline have a good chance of actually being able to run services on the line?
Well, they're going to run some. I mean, there's some figures been produced on the net present value, which is the value of the total value of the service. That's not just profit, but economic benefits and everything else. And the Virgin Core service, which is the Edinburgh service, the lead service, that is by far the highest value at £287 million. But after that, the other two competing ones who want to run to Edinburgh, they're both at £200 million. But the Harrogate-Lincoln service, you look at Harrogate and Lincoln together, because effectively the Lincoln and the Harrogate trains are in the same diagram. They go to Lincoln and then use the same route back to London as the Harrogate one does in the alternate hour. But they would only run, they're only talking about £155 million.
I see.
Of course, if they go for the pure economic value, then, of course, the fast trains get it. The Edinburgh trains get it. But, of course, on the other hand, I mean, while we're flagging it up, of course, there's a political decision involved in this as well. So the more political pressure that comes at this time, before decisions are made, saying, don't forget, as well as pure cash terms, places like Lincoln have waited a long while for our service.
And David, just a word on, in your opinion, and just an assessment of the risk, do you think Lincolnshire is likely to miss out based on the decision that's going to be made, or is it looking okay?
I think if the political fuss is loud enough, we won't. If everybody keeps nice and quiet and says, "Oh yes, we won't," you know, let the ORR just decide. I can see problems, but I don't think that's going to happen because, as you know, I mean, I've heard the MPs and I'm sure the local authorities will be making a fuss. I know already the people at Newark have already spotted that if this goes ahead, their service is not going to be as even patterned as it is now. It's going to have a deteriorating service. And they're making a fuss as well.
Yeah, well, it could impact a lot of lines and a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah. The only thing is, of course, people in Scotland will be saying, give us our cheap tickets.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? There's always that element to it as well. That's David Harvey there, chairman of the Lincolnshire branch of Rail Future.